for the retreat is unhappy. Now, how do we begin with weekly readings? What St. Luke tells us about our Lord's ascension into heaven at the beginning of his Acts of the Apostles. Remember, this is 40 days after Christ's resurrection from the dead. Again, our Lord brought his disciples together. Typically, the apostles, after all that had transpired, 3 years of intense instruction and the passion, Christ's death on Calvary, his resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday, and for 40 days appearing to the disciples. Then, as St. Luke tells us, having met together, they, that's the apostles, asked him, Lord, has the time come? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Oh no. The Messiah had come, fulfilled all the prophecies, but their vision of the Messiah was of a political, military leader who would restore the earthly kingdom of Israel. So then, I will answer them. It is not for you to know dates or times. The Father is decided by his own authority. In other words, God himself, when he wants to, will restore the earthly kingdom of Israel. The Jews are now waiting almost 2,000 years. Every Sabbath in their synagogues, they pray, O come, Emmanuel. Then Christ continued, now we need to hear this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you be my witnesses. Remember the word for witnesses in Luke's original Greek is, you will be my martyrs. Where? Not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea and Samaria, and in fact, to the end of the earth. The moment he said this, he, that Jesus, was lifted up while they looked on, needless to say, stupefied, and then a cloud took him from their sight, and they were still staring into the sky, and suddenly two men, really, two angels were standing near them and said, why, you men from Galilee, standing there, Okay, then that's gone. Jesus has been taken up from you into heaven. And the same Jesus will come back in the same way. Have you seen him go there? There are three truths about faith regarding heaven that we should reflect on. First of all, heaven is the destiny of our existence. God made us for heaven. Heaven is our home. We don't belong here. And that is why God makes sure that we have trials, difficulties, struggle. He called it appropriately the church militant, fighting against the world, the devil, and with ourselves. As we began, so we end. This world is a means to not just end, but the end. And the end means the destiny, the purpose of our existence. Heaven, therefore, is while we exist. Secondly, we believe that when our bodies die, our souls live on. These souls of ours, as we've said before, will be fully and totally conscious in mind and our wills, can experience both joy and pain. In other words, when we die, our souls do not become anesthetized. Remain fully conscious, indeed more fully conscious than we are now. And consequently, when our bodies die, I repeat, our souls will live on. And the moment we die, we shall be judged. Now that judgment, unlike what we hold in our human vocabulary, that judgment will not be, say, a prosecutor, a defense attorney, a jury, and we standing, waiting and wondering, what's the verdict? We all know our destiny, the moment our bodily eyes close in death, and the eyes of our soul open our destiny. We call this a particular judgment. Each one of us is not awaiting a pros and cons, because God knows what our destiny is. He already knows that judgment will be to inform us what is our destiny. And that is why over the centuries the saints have exhorted us, whenever you're faced with difficult decisions, place yourself by anticipation at the moment of death. What will you have, future tense? What will you have decided to have done now? What choice will you wish to have made the moment you enter eternity? We need that. Make that choice now. What then is the lesson? The lesson is, and this is where Christianity is so clear and uncompromising on what we technically call eschatology, the science of the last things, the science of our destiny. The poor Hindus, 1 billion of them in India and parts of especially Chinese Asia. And the errors of Hinduism have deeply penetrated the Western world. People sometimes ask me, what do you know about the New Age movement? I know a lot. New Age movement is imported Hinduism that is plaguing once Christian countries like America. They believe in reincarnation. They have one existence now. They'll have another existence, well, when, as we casually say, die. Then a third existence, and a fourth existence, and Buddha, a Hindu heretic, about the 6th century B.C., he thought he was in his 100,000th reincarnation. He said to himself, that's enough. Came up with a new religion called Buddhism. There is only one bodily death, one judgment, and then one destiny, either heaven or hell. The moment we die, therefore, we shall know immediately what is our eternal destiny. We know it now. It is to be heaven. Well, that's what the retreat has been all about. Keeping our eyes always on that horizon of eternity. Always looking beyond space and time. I repeat, how will I have wished to have lived here on earth? The moment I enter eternity, live now is by anticipation you foresee, you will have wished to have served God here in this, I repeat, valley of tears. Have I shed enough tears? Have I had enough of the cross? Have I been patient, enduring, endearing to those who have been just the opposite to me? And then we begin eternity. As Catholics, we believe that when we die, if we have indeed been saved, two possibilities: either going straight to heaven or spending an indefinite length of time in purgatory. One of our most laudable ambitions as Catholics is, when our body dies, not to spend 1 minute in purgatory. How do you do that? Very simple. Experience your purgatory here. Well, again, it's St. Augustine. We all have a choice. Having sinned, we must all suffer. The only question is, where? Will it be here or hereafter? Thank God for the suffering, the discomfort, the disappointments. Thank God for not loving in dreamlike pleasure you on earth. Let's never, in this world, never run away from the pain that God wants us in His wonderful mercy to experience and thus satisfy the debt that we owe to an offended God. One more resolution before we finish. I urge you to cultivate a strong devotion, strange language, devotion to the poor souls in purgatory. Nowadays, you attend some funerals, I mean Catholic funerals, and you blink, and you wonder. Do we still believe in purgatory? I think I should say this. Mother Teresa's missionaries of charity all over the world. And each of the convents have a list of all the deceased sisters. Take around 50 so far. And the heading in the list says, our beloved missionaries of charity in heaven with God. I'm going to make sure, I've told them how many times, sisters, please, don't say that. Our dear missionaries of charity, for whom we pray, are that we soon enter the kingdom of heaven. talk about the influence of the non-Catholic mind, even on otherwise good people. There is a purgatory. I repeat, cultivate a great devotion for the poor souls. Pray for them every day. Have masses offered for them. Offer up your sufferings here on earth to help them in two ways. Either reach heaven soon because you pray for them, or at least have their sufferings mitigated, lessened, because we have prayed for them. But then, on the last day, this is Christ's second coming. The same Jesus who came into the world as a child, who was crucified on Calvary, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. This Jesus is now God as man. Once the second person of the Trinity became man, he will never lose his humanity. In heaven today, as I trust we'll all find out, he has the wounds in his hands and feet. He has the marks of the thorns over his head. He has his open side. And that will continue for all eternity. On the last day, as faith tells us, we shall be judged again. Why the second judgment, commonly called the general judgment? Over the years, I've never tired, depending on how much time is available, to tell people like retreatants. On the last day, the judgment will be universal and universally witnessed. Everybody will witness the judgment of everybody else. Billions will be judged at the same time. Then, as we know, Christ will appear in his heavenly glory and first turn to those on the right. Come to me, you blessed of my Father. Possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And then, my closing resolution for the retreat. Remember, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. First you gave me to drink. Sick and in prison, and you visited me. Lonely in sorrow, and you comforted me. Then the just will ask the Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and minister to your needs? And he will tell them, change that third person to the first person. And he will tell us, this is your faith and mine. Whatever you did the least of my brethren you did for me. What's the resolution? Every day until you are called into eternity, examine your conscience on your practice of selfless charity. Then we repeat, every day until the dawn of eternity, examine your conscience and ask yourself, how during the day have I practiced charity? Every human being, from the dawn of conception, is in need. And as infants, to manifest their needs, as your mothers know. Some have louder sound than others. But there's no doubt they are in need. As we go in years, one of my favorite definitions of growing up, you will learn as you grow up to manifest your needs, but do so more quietly and more subtly. You're all always in need. And those two universals, all and always, is the verdict of human history since the dawn of the human race. We are all always in need. In need of what? In need of love. Dear God, you're all always in need of love. Love from whom? Ultimately, of course, from God, but approximately from those with whom we live. Among whom we work, with whom we associate. And this need for love, I repeat, is always, always present in everyone. Over the years in teaching moral theology, as you know, the first of the four basic moral virtues is the virtue of prudence, the virtue which instructs the mind on how we should do whatever we are doing. One of my favorite descriptions of prudence is the wisdom we need to know how we are to show our love. Yet that word how, we ought to love everyone, always. But, need I say this, we are not to. What a very safe statement. You're not to show our love for everyone in the same way. All you've got to do is go down to the Chicago Loop, see it in the afternoon, and you ladies, some streets are longer than others, one block will be enough. Just embrace and kiss every person you meet. my value reach the next block. You may have a squadron of police. Lord, how we need prudence. Prudence is a virtue of how we are to practice the most fundamental responsibility of our lives, namely, love everyone whom God puts into our lives. Ask, O Lord, daily, by anticipation, what you will be doing the next day, for that matter, the next hour, for that matter, as you pick up the telephone. Don't just pick up the telephone and ring off the number. Think. As I say, use your head. Practice prudence. How long will I be on the telephone? What will I say? How long will I listen? What should I not say? Back to the final judgment. Our destiny depends in the last analysis on our practice, remember, and this is where our English language is so many ways, I almost am tempted to say useless in expressing the depth of our Catholic faith. The English word charity, we only think of it as dropping a nickel. The generous a dime, and were very generous a quarter in a beggar's trunk. Charity, we said in our homily, is supernatural love. It is humanly impossible love. It is the love of the unlovable. Then, having been duly judged, now we're speaking of the last day of the world. As Christ closes the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and these, speaking of the saved, will enter into everlasting life. And those, the lost, into everlasting punishment. And here it is. In Matthew's original Greek, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it is the same word, aionios, everlasting life and everlasting punishment. The heavier the cross that our Lord sends you, the more trials you have to endure, the more difficult your life may be. Try to remember the Greek word, aionios, eternal. And the Apostle tells us, the sufferings in this life are as nothing compared to the eternal joys that await those who serve God here on earth. It's worth it. But I'm not finished yet. When Christ died on the cross, He made it for us, our redemption from sin. But he also did something else. Remember, we believed. Had our first parents not sinned, none of us would have died in body. Our mortality is a result of sin. Once Christ died, then he won back for us the title to, well, the restoration of our bodies. Needless to say, between our death and our resurrection of the last day, it'll be a little longer than from 3 o'clock on Good Friday afternoon to early Easter Sunday morning. It'll be a long, long weekend. Well, that's all of faith. And it is not only where we should enjoy the vision of God and for eternity in spirit. No. We're going to enjoy heaven with our bodies. Listen, in heaven we'll have our bodies back. And St. Augustine is again the one with the longest description of the, shall I call it, condition of the risen body. In full, vibrant health. Those who died in infancy have been their bodily maturity. Those who died in old age, what a satisfaction. The bruise on their face. The loss of hair for the lower shoulder. Oh, please. Are you saying we're going to have in heaven our eyelashes? Our lips? And no more need of lipstick. The body will be beautiful beyond our earthly description. And our bodies will no longer suffer. No more habit. I wrote the Quran. Some good things in the Quran. I've taught the Quran over the years. But, oh no. I'll like to remember what Christ tells us. In heaven, there'll be no more marrying or giving in marriage. What habit? Poor one habit. He couldn't imagine a heaven without sexual pleasure. Oh, may God have mercy on Mohammed's soul. In heaven, we should enjoy the human company of those with whom we have lived and whom we have loved here on earth. I never knew my father who died when I was just a year old. I wasn't quite sure what my mother meant when she said, "You're just like your father." needed to find out. Will we be all different? Very different. Here we could begin an 8-day retreat. In heaven, it is not just that we shall be there with our bodies and bodily powers. What good would a pair of, resurrected eyes be unless we could see with them? Heaven will not be one blank mist. What would our ears be in unless there were beautiful things to hear? St. John exhausts himself in the book of Revelation, describing the beautiful singing, the hymns of heaven. And let's hear it. This is part of our faith. The Adventist uses the expression, there will be both a new heaven and a new earth. What do you mean, a new heaven? Is there a heaven already? Yes, there is.
This will come after the last day.
how we teach in theology, nothing which God has created will he ever annihilate. And the beauties of nature that we experience here on earth, what a statement, will also have reached their resurrection. Years ago I read a beautiful essay, it's somewhere in my files, where a woman wrote, a young woman, and said she's just waiting for the last day when she can pet a puppy dog in heaven. Is that a wild imagination? No. We don't know. What we do know is there will be a new earth to provide for those who have served God by carrying their cross here on earth. Every sacrifice of the body we've made, every control of our bodily passions that we have experienced, every suffering, every pain in the body will be marvelously rewarded in that new heaven and new earth. For the joy, not only in spirit, but in body, which only God now knows, but he has reserved for those who now love him by loving his cross. One closing sentence. Our glorification in heaven depends on our crucifixion here on earth. Lord Jesus, we are looking forward to joining you in heavenly glory. And we beg you to give us the strength we need to walk with you on your way to come and to be crucified here on earth. So like you and with you, we may be glorified for ages without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.